Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm in the tiny town of Cherry Valley to meet with Rita Seiko Payne, the talented designer behind Baco Ceramics. Okay, to start, Rita, where does the name Baco come from?
Baco is actually a mix of my two grandmothers' names. So I share the middle name Seiko with my paternal grandmother, and Belliker was my maternal grandmother's name, and they were both really excellent cooks and were huge on meals and serving things. And so I wanted to kind of have a way to honor how they brought people together with food, and I'm not as good of a cook, so I'm doing it in my own kind of way.
So when did you start making pottery, and can you describe the amazing space we're in right now?
I started making pottery in high school, and I actually had a gallery show in my public library.
And where was this?
This was in Sydney, New York, so I'm not too far away from there now, but I had a show, and I remember I sold enough pottery in my high school show to be able to afford my computer for college. And then I went on to college and graduated with my degree in ceramics from Pratt Institute in 2010. And then I've just been doing it ever since. It just developed more and more, and every year I have new ideas, and I've been in this space for 3 years.
And what was this space?
This space was formerly a lumber operation and a fur trapper and trader business. So the ceramic business that is now in it is a lot different than its original vibe.
And it's really hidden here in Cherry Valley. I actually had a little bit of a hard time finding it today. Do you want to talk about this town?
Yeah, so the town is pretty cool. My business is technically on Main Street, but it's hidden a little bit behind the Main Street. It's, I think, a town of 400 people normally, but it's always been an artist community. So in the 70s and 80s, Ginsberg had a school here and a commune, and it's full of weavers and potters and metalsmiths, and they're all kind of come from different cities and things like that and came to this funny little town and created this totally unique artist community.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what you're making here? I see a lot of shapes and objects and designs that look like food.
Yeah, so I cast objects that are normally disposable, whether it be something like a cabbage bowl or an acorn squash. I also take disposable, like, to-go things, and I'll cast those too. So anything that is a temporary form, I can make into a functional ceramic form.
And how do you do that?
I take plaster molds, and so the original object is cast in plaster, and it has all the details. I also use a liquid clay so that kind of goes into all the crevices of the plaster form, and I'm able to get these like almost exact replicas of the original just in clay.
I love them. I love this cabbage bowl. So it's a bowl that looks like a cabbage if you were to flip it over.
For sure.
But it's also conceptual too, because the colors are not something you would naturally find in nature. Like, talk about this incredible color blue that you've created.
So I have this glaze that I actually developed while I was in college for a few years, but I have this turquoise color that I call Dr. Payne.
Why is that Dr. Payne?
Because Payne's my last name, and I wanted it to sound very professional because I put so much work into it. But it's a really unique color, and usually when people see this turquoise color, they know that it's coming from me, and it's food safe, and it's awesome.
And then where can you find your designs?
Right now, I have my work in about 13 stores and online and internationally, actually.
Congratulations.
Now. Thanks.
So are any of those stores in upstate New York?
Yes, I have a few stores in upstate New York. One right down the road from Cherry Valley in Sharon Springs, New York, is the Beekman Mercantile, who I've been working with for a few years. I also have a really huge selection in Riverwood in Cooperstown. It's my partner's business, actually, too. So he's been helping me out, sales and things like that. And I also get to put all my like brand new designs into the store. So that's been a really fun partnership for us.
And so he can test run them in his store.
He test runs everything. And he's like knows all the insights because he's in the studio and hearing all my like fun glaze things and everything. So he's got some really fun anecdotes that he gets to tell customers.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, Todd.
What is this?
What you're hearing is a bell pepper bell. So that's one of my newest designs, and I got the assignment to make a bell, and it seemed really obvious to me to do something kind of punny and cast a bell pepper. So that's a new form that I'm working on.
I love it. So it's literally a pepper from someone's garden?
Yeah. Yep, just a dissected pepper and turned into clay. Exactly.
And then what other things have you gotten from people's gardens and where did they come from?
Oh my gosh. So part of the real fun about my job is I think my customers and the people that like my pottery get really involved in creating stuff and being part of the creative process. So I just made a set of sunflower plates or sunflower seed plates, I guess. So I casted the actual head on a sunflower from my friend's garden down the street, and those are super duper awesome.
They're so detailed.
It's such a fun process, and I'm learning a lot about the objects that I'm casting as I'm doing it. So it's been a learning experience the whole time.
And what's that up there? That looks like a giant gourd or a pumpkin.
Yes, I am a big fan of gourds. My mom last year actually grew a giant pumpkin plant that like wove around her shed, and it ended up making this, I guess what would end up being 10-gallon pumpkin or something. So I cut that in half, cast that, so I have this giant pumpkin bowl which now holds like 3 or 4 gallons. But it's got all the details and like little dimples of the pumpkin. It's pretty great.
Have you ever cast something from nature that didn't work?
I have casted a lot of things from nature that haven't worked. I have casted corn, which didn't work out.
Like a corn on the cob?
Corn on the cob didn't work very well. Asparagus chopsticks didn't work very well.
Great idea, though.
But it's a great idea, and I still think that, yeah.
Gonna work on that. And I saw you did something with tomatoes.
Yeah, I love tomatoes, too. I took regular round tomatoes and a really interesting heirloom tomato, and I turned them into lidded jars. So they have a couple different functions now, but they're just these precious little gardeny objects.
Is there something on your wish list that you're wanting to cast? Or do you go out in the world and see everything as possibly something you could cast?
Yeah, and I definitely have probably more that I can cast even in my studio right now, just things I've collected from takeout meals or people's gardens or whatever. But nothing on my wish list right now. I'm keeping up with my ideas right
yeah,
now.
Just trying to keep up with the demand.
Yeah.
And what's up next in terms of you being out in the world?
Well, I have an event coming up this weekend. So there's a Cherry Valley holiday open house weekend. So a lot of the businesses are participating. I'm having a pop-up at my studio for the first time in a couple years. And then in February, I'm going to be part of the American Craft Council show in Baltimore. I'm part of the Emerging Artist Program there. So that's an exciting first show back after COVID.
What kind of makers are there?
It's amazingly huge variety of stuff. So there's fiber arts, there's a ton of glass stuff. There's stuff that I can't even predict there because people are using a lot of found objects, but it's such a great, unique, eclectic collection of artists that are just hustling, trying to make it work. You know?
And is that open to the public?
That is open to the public. And they have a couple different ones. Baltimore, I believe, is like the main show, but there's one later in the year is in St. Paul.
What's the most fun part about running your own business?
Meeting the people that like my work and want to be involved with my work. I couldn't have even predicted the connections that I've made, whether through the art world or my customers. And I think those people give me the energy to keep going, and I give them the energy and empower them to create something of their own, whether it be food or to just be thoughtful about, hey, here's an awesome sunflower. You should make something out of this, you know?
Well, on this snowy day, I'll let you get back to work in your studio. What are you doing today?
I have kilns to fire, and I'm getting ready for my sale, and just trying to stay warm.
Yeah. Well, let's get the heat back on. Yeah. Thank you, Rita.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.